We left off last week on Kuf Lamed Aleph from the base towards the bottom. The Gemara quoted a Machlekes HaTanoim, whether in Biblical Hebrew, Levim are included in the term Om. What's the issue? Because the Pasuk, there are 24 Matnas Kehuna. We mentioned there are more than 24, but when the Tanoim are counting them, they're combining a lot together. There are different versions exactly what you're combining together. So one of the 24 Matnas Kehuna is Ro L'Chayayim V'Hakeva, and we learned the opening Mishnah, and only applies when Yeshech Behem Haschulim, when Yeshech Korbanus, if it's a Shlamim, you give the Chazav Yishok to the Kohanim, but Ro L'Chayayim V'Hakeva doesn't apply to Shechit HaSkotchim, only to Chulim. The Mishnah says it applies all over the world, B'Eretz Yisrael, B'Chutz L'Eretz, and we follow Rashi, who claims that Mi'ikra Din doesn't apply in Chutz L'Eretz. Okay, that we learned already. So the Lashon HaPasuk is Zeyeh Mishpat HaKohanim Yisra'am Yisra'ev Chehazevach Imshor Imseh Benasala Kain Hazro V'Halachayayim V'Hakeva. So the Gemara is going to work on one issue. How come it says twice Kohanim in the Pasuk? Zeyeh Mishpat HaKohanim Benasala Kain. It says Hazro, let it say Benasala Hazro V'Halachayim, because it says Mishpat HaKohanim. The Gemara is going to discuss that on coming up. And then it says, "Yeah, mishpat akonim eis ha'om." So does a kohen who shechts the aim, it doesn't have to give away the zohar l'chayim akeva to a different kohen. If a kohen has a farm, when Yeshua ben Nun divided Eretz Yisrael among the shvatim, the kohanim and the levim got ori halavim. The kohanim got nothing. So, but if a kohen buys a farm and he grows peiros and he has to be mafresh truma, he has to give away the truma to another kohen. He can keep the truma for himself. So here also, if a kohen shechts a beim, he doesn't have to give zol chayim v'akeva to a different kohen. But the shayla is levim. If a levi shechts a beim, is he included in om? So the Gemara quoted a machlekes hatanoim regarding the avodas yom kippurim. It says the kohen gadol should do all the special korbanos, and on yom kippur you bring two sets of korbanos. You bring the musafim, that's in Parshas Pinchas. Then you bring the special korbanos that are for the purpose of mechilas ha'oven, for the purpose of Mechilas Avinus.
Does the kohen have to be mafresh Israel?
No, there's nothing to
mafresh. Does he have to be mafresh truma?
Yeah, he has to be mafresh truma to take off the Yisr Teva, but the Zohar L'Chayim Akev is mufresh v'yoymet. We know what it is. There's no, you don't gain anything by picking it up. You don't have to declare anything. The second that you shech the behem, automatically the Zohar L'Chayim Akev, if you're a non-kohen, automatically belongs to the Shevet Kehuna. So you have a mitzvah to give it. So the kohen doesn't have to do anything. So the question is, me'eis ha'om, me'eis ha'vchav zevach, does that only include the other shvatim, but not Shevet Levi? Does it include Shevet Levi as well? So Gemara says, it's really a machlekes ha'tanoim. We don't have tanoim regarding Zohar L'Chayim Akev, but they have tanoim regarding Avodas Yom Kippurim. It says the kohen gadol should bring all of the special korbanos in Parshas Achrei Mos, in addition to the musafim that appear in Parshas Pinchas, has to bring special korbanos. And the pasuk concludes that the chiperes mikdash hakodesh. Then it says, how does it say? It's a mechila for v'alam hakohol yechaper. So am hakohol, are levim included in am? Well, levim are not included in am. They need a separate phrase to tell us that even the levim get a mechila or not. So Gemara shows that's a machlokes hatanoim, whether in biblical Hebrew the word am includes the levim or not. So Gemara assumes that Rav was mesupik which tana to paskin like, whether levim are included in am or not included. So that's why he says that a levi who shechts a behemah schulen is not obligated to give away the zohar l'chayim v'hakeva, because it's a hamoitz machaber all of harai. Even though it's a mitzvah to give zohar l'chayim v'hakeva, one might have argued the point and said sofik derais of l'chum. It's a sofik, but you have to fulfill a mitzvah. But this is a mitzvah of dini mamon. It's beron machaber. Let's say there's a sofik, but they have to give pidyon ben, some kind of a sofik or another. If the woman had a miscarriage previously, so then you don't do pidyon ben on the next baby. So what if it's a suffix? The miscarriage only counts as an afel if it was at least mem yom, a pregnancy, a mem yom with a tzuris havlad. The tzuris havlad, after 40 days, the whole pregnancy is an inch by an inch. The whole thing is a teeny weeny little uber. And after 43, 44 days, that's when the Tzuras Havlat begins to develop. So very often a woman has a miscarriage, she didn't even notice. It came out of her, she didn't even notice. You can't even look at it. It's not around to see whether it has a Tzuras Havlat. So what's the din if you have a Sufik and the next baby is born healthy and normal, and it's a baby boy? Are you mechuyav to do Pidyon HaBen? So one might have thought, you do me Sufik without a bracha. Sufik Daraisa Luchumer, Sufik Brachas Lahakil. So the Mishnah says no. Whenever there's any Sufik in Pidyon HaBen, even if Pidyon HaBen is a mitzvah that one recites a bracha over, you don't say Sufik Daraisa Luchumer. It's a mitzvah, Binara Machavera, and you say Sufik Mamayna Lukula. So the same thing over here. If you have a Sufik, if you're obligated to Rav is to Pukim and Safkalei, whether to Paskin like the one Tana or the other, whether Levim are included in the term Am. So therefore, he holds that Hametz Machriel of Rav, the Levim don't have to give Zorah Chayayim Vahakeva. What if you have, there's a Prima Godim, these Dinim, Zorah Chayayim Vahakeva, and Yeridei Chelakal. So there's a Prima Godim there who writes that if you have a Kohen who's a Cholol, Kohen is Chol means that, let's say, a Kohen marries a Grusha, so all the children that he has are Chololim. Cholol means empty, like empty space, empty air is a Cholol. Vacuum. Cholol. So Cholol means he doesn't have Kedusha's Kuna at all. A Kohen is not allowed to be Metamei L'Meisim. A Cholol is permitted to be Metamei L'Meisim. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. But if the Kohen marries a Grusha and he has a son, so the son is Mamish Ois Kohen, he's empty, he's chola, emptied out, and he's permitted to marry a grusha. And he, of course, he can't bring, he can't be makor karbonos and beis hamikdash, he doesn't have kedushas kuna at all. So the Prima Godim writes, it's an interesting idea, that if a kohen is born a chola, a kohen marries a grusha, they have a son, it's a chola, so the chola is a levi, even though we usually say that kohanim are not levim, that we explained last week, we'll review it again. But the Kohen Cholol would be, because the Gemara says Halacha Kirav, is on the bottom, four lines from the bottom of Kuf Lamed Aleph on the base. The Gemara says Hilchos Hakavos de Rav. We pass like Rav that Rav said that Levim are suffix Sveka Dedina, whether they're included in Am or not. So Levim are not obligated to give away Zralach Hayam VaHakeva because it's a suffix if they're included in Am. So the Prima Godim says the same sofik will apply if a person is a kohen who's a cholol. A kohen is a cholol is not a kohen, but he's still a levi. So therefore, it'll be a sveikah d'dina whether he's mukhiv to give away zrala chayam. Okay, when we say he doesn't have to give, amad zimachavera all of her right.
We don't call him for levi, do we? We have cholol. We never call him for levi. You go to Israel.
Oh, so how come we don't call up a cholol for the second aliyah as a levi? Oh, that's a good question. So he pointed out last week, there's a Tosfos in the end of Chorus, but Tosfos proves from the Gemara that a Kohen is not a levi. And if the Kohen becomes a cholol, we don't say, well, he's not a Kohen, but at least he remains a levi. He's not a levi. So how can the Prima Godim say that the Kohen cholol is a levi? It's against often the Tosfos. We're going to have the Gemara tonight that the Tosfos is based on, that a Kohen who's a cholol is not a levi. So the answer is, there are two dinim of, we had last week, there's a din in the Chumash that whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael is tevel, whatever is edible, it's tevel. You have to be mafra, shumah, maisarisha, maisarsheni. So shumah you give to the Kohanim, maisarisha you give to the Levim. So the Gemara had a machlekes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. On the level of the Raisu, whom do you give the maisarisha to? Only to a Levi? You can't give it to a Kohen? Oh no, Minatari, you can give it to a Kohen or a Levi, because the Gemara quotes that B'chof Dalad Mekaymas in Tanakh, that happens to be the same number, 24, coincidentally. In 24 places in Tanakh, Kohanim are referred to as Levim. When we bench by a bris mili, say B'shus HaKohanim HaLevim. Because all the Saloshan and the Pasuk also, HaKohanim HaLevim. The Kohanim HaLevim. So the Mefarshim ask, how can the Tosfos prove that a Kohen is not a Levi? If the Gemara says, B'chof Talib Mekamis Nikra Kohanim Levi. So the answer must be that there are two concepts of Levi. There's a Shevet Levi and there's a Kedushas Levi. So Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. Since they have something higher than that, they have Kedushas Kohuna, so they don't have Kedushas Levi. So if you have a Kohen who has a son from a Grusha, and the son is a Cholol, so the son doesn't have Kedushas Kohuna, he's not going to have Kedushas Levi either. he's not going to get the second aliyah. He does not kedushas Levi, but Shevet Levi he is. So the Prima Gadim understood that when the Gemara quotes Rab's din, the Hilchas Hakavasa the Rab, it passed like Rab, that it's a Sveka the Dina, whether Levim are included in Am, Levim are called Am or not, it means by the Shevet, not Kedushas Levi, but the Shevet Levi is called Am. Maybe that whole Shevet is excluded, maybe the Shevet Levi is not called Am. So Maisa Rishon, there was a Machleg Zav Akiva and Abloz Ben Azariah, whom do you give it to? You give it to only Levim? That's how the Rambam paskins. Me'ikar Adin D'Raisa, you only Yotzei Matnas, giving the mitzvah of giving away Maisa Rishon, only if you give it to a Levi. Give it to a coin, you're not Yotzei. And Abloz Ben Azariah said, how can you say that? B'chof Talib Mekam is Nikru Kahan Levim. So the Pashto says that's exactly what they're arguing when the Torah says you give Maisa Rishon to the Levi. Which Levi? There are two dinam of Levi. There's a concept of Shevet Levi. There's a concept of Kedushas Levi. So if you hold that Shevet Levi is entitled to Maaser Rishon, so Kahanim are also Shevet Levi. So you have, on the level of their Eis, Rav Lozman and Azari holds, it's optional. You can either give it to a Kohen or to a Levi. And we pass like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was older than Rav Lozman and Azari. So Rabbi Akiva holds you only Yotzei Maaser Rishon if you give it to a Levi. Give it to a Kohen, you're not Yotze, because even though the Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. So that's the Machlekes of Rabbi Akiva and Abdos Ma'aziah. Who is the Levi who is entitled to get Maaser Rishon? The Levi who's Shevet Levi, or the Levi who has Kedushas Levi?
So what's the Cholo? So the Cholo has no
Kedushas
Levi.
The Cholo doesn't have Kedushas Levi, but he's Shevet Levi. Right.
So that would be Tolin the
Machlekes? Tolin the Machlekes, yeah. Who gets Maaser Rishon? One who belongs to Shevet Levi, so Chol would also be entitled. Probably the second Aliyah, we assume, goes to one who has Kedushas Levi. The Oros HaMeach was a Kohen. So he has a whole shtickle turn in his Sefer on Chumash. He wrote a Sefer when he was a teenager. Meshech Chochmah. He has a lot of very original, extremely original ideas there. And his father told him he shouldn't print the Sefer until after he prints his Torah on Halacha, because his ideas are very often very, very extremely original ideas. So the Sefer was printed after he passed away. Meshech Chochmah was printed after he died. So he is a Kohen, so he can say that. He says there is no such thing as Kedushas Levi. There's only Shevet Levi. But the Pashtus is not like him. Pashtus is, he's trying to explain there is a Gemara in Megillah, where the Gemara distinguishes between the various religious articles that we use. The Gemara says that a tefillin, a mezuzah, and a sefer Torah, and a mentale of a sefer Torah, and a tefillin zekel, and the cardboard boxes that you put on top of the tefillin, and the plastic case that you put the mezuzah in, all of these are tashmish and kedusha. As opposed to a talis, and a talis zekel, and an esrig, and a sukkah, and a shofar, that's called tashmish and mitzvah. What's the difference? When you call it tashmish and mitzvah, you call it tashmish and kedusha. So the difference is, after the zman mitzvah is up, can you throw it in the garbage? So if you have a talis zekel that has a posik written on it, you're not supposed to have a posik written on it. You're not allowed to write less than a sefer shalom. What are you going to write? A whole sefer dvarim on a talis zekel? So you're not supposed to write. Or so if you have a posik written on it, which it shouldn't be, so you're not allowed to throw it in the garbage because it has a posik. It has no posik. A talis zekel has my name on it. It doesn't have any posik on it. And then it gets old and torn and worn out, and my wife buys me a new talis zekel. So what do I do with the old ones? And strictly speaking, you throw it in the garbage. You don't have to put it in the Shemus. But if you have an old tefillin zekel, or you have an old cardboard boxes, or you have the plastic cover for the mezuzah, and it's broken, and it's chipped, and it's dirty, and doesn't look good, so that you're not allowed to throw in the garbage. It has no psukim, nothing written on it. But the mezuzah is the gufek dusha. So the mezuzah case, and the tefillin zekel, even though there's no psukim on the tefillin zekel, the parechas of the Aron Kodesh is a discussion in the Gemara. Whether it's tashmish or kedusha. So how do they decide? So Chaim Alojan says, so the third tefillin mezuzah have psukim written on it. So whatever has psukim, that's the guf hakdusha. So the Aron Kodesh, the wooden Aron Kodesh, and the mental of the Sefer Torah, and the tefillin zekel, these are all tashmishi kedusha. These are mishamish, the guf hakdusha. Mashenikein, an esreg, and a sukkah, and a shofar, and a talis, there's no psukim written over there, so that's not tashmishi kedusha, it's only tashmishi mitzvah. So even the talis itself, if you have an old talis, and So you should give it away to some. Yeah, you buy a new talis. Your wife buys you a new talis. What do you do with the old talis? So donate it to the shul. The gabbai doesn't want it. It's so old and dirty. So you give it to a poor man in the neighborhood. He doesn't want it either. Nobody wants it. If someone's going to use it, so it's still the talis bizman mitzvah. So you shouldn't be mevazed if it's still bizman mitzvah. But if the zman mitzvah is up, I'm not going to wear it. No one else wants it. So the zman mitzvah of the talis is up. So the Gemara says, nizrakim, you can throw it in the garbage. It just says in Shulchan Aruch, shouldn't throw it together with dirty diapers. Shouldn't throw it together, throw it out in the garbage together with the fish bones, with the chicken bones. You put it in a separate bag and then you throw it in the garbage. You, strictly speaking, you don't have to. The tzitzis are expensive, especially if you have trelis. It's extremely expensive. But the tzitzis are expensive, so if you don't want to throw in the garbage, so you don't. You can use the tzitzis on another garment. But strictly speaking, the strings of the tzitzis with the garment, the whole thing is only tashmishi mitzvah. It's not tashmishi kedusha. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. What about the parochas of the Aron Kodesh? So the Gemara says, Bizman Hagech, strictly speaking, should not have the status of tashmishi kedusha, because the wooden Aron Kodesh is mishamesh the Sefer Torah. It holds the Sefer Torah, and the parochas is twice removed from the Sefer Torah. That's what the Gemara calls tashmish the tashmish. The parochas beautifies the wooden Aron Kodesh, and the wooden Aron Kodesh contains the Sefer Torah. So since it's twice removed, so the Gemara says it shouldn't have the status of tashmishi kedusha. But the Gemara says that it does. So why is that? So the Gemara says, because Bizman HaGemara, the practice used to be on a regular basis, when they would take out the Sefer Torah and lay it on the Shulchan, so they would take down the parochas and put it on the Shulchan, and they would put the Sefer Torah directly on top of the parochas. So since it's kavua, that's what they do b'kviyas, 3 days a week, Sheni v'chamishi and Shabbos and Yom Tov, they put the parochas on the Shulchan, they put the Sefer Torah on it, so the parochas is not twice removed from the Sefer Torah. You put the Sefer Torah directly on top of the parochas. Then in Shulchan Aruch, every day it says that Bizman HaZeh, nobody does that. We have the parochas hung up in such a way that it's very difficult to get it down. So we never use it like that. So therefore, Bizman HaZeh, the parochas no longer has the status, like Bizman HaGemar, no longer has the status of Tashmishi. Kedusha, it's twice removed, it's Tashmish to Tashmish. And that's why the meaning was in Europe, that they used to use the parochas from Shul to make a chuppah with it. If it would have been a tashmishi kedusha, you're not allowed to use it for a chuppah, not allowed to use it for any other purpose other than what it was designated for. So we said that Bizman HaZeh doesn't have a status of kedusha.
What about the covers we use now?
The what?
The covers that we have now on the table. The covers on the table that we put the Torah on.
Yeah, the mentale on the shulchan, that has a status of tashmishi kedusha, because you can't put the Sefer Torah just on a blue cloth. The blue cloth's not going to be suspended in midair. So the Shulchan certainly has a status of a Tashmishi Kedusha. Even though there's a Dover Mapsik in between, even though the blue mentala is Mapsik in between, but basically it's the wooden Shulchan that holds the Sefer Torah. So the wooden Shulchan certainly has a status of Tashmishi Kedusha. Sefer Torah is the Gufi Kedusha, and the Shulchan is Tashmishi. But since we're always makbet to put on the blue cover, or the whatever color it is, put on the mantle over there. What do you call it? You don't call it mantle. I don't know. What do you call the cloth cover? The mapa.
But you put plastic on it a lot of times also on top of that in some shoes.
Okay, you got to figure out. Okay, so you got to figure out which is the tashmishi kedusha, which is the twice removed. The plastic or the cloth one. Okay, so the Meshech Chochma wants to know, where did the rabbis figure out this secret that only if it's mishamesh the Sefer Torah has kedusha, but if it's twice removed tashmish the tashmish, the parochas is mishamesh the wooden Aron Kodesh, the Aron Kodesh is mishamesh the Sefer Torah, so the parochas doesn't have a din of tashmish kedusha. Where does it say that in the Chumash, that if it's twice removed? So he's a Kohen, he's Nishkan Levi, so he says, I'll tell you why. The Korbanos and the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Guf HaKdusha. The Kohanim HaMakrev, the Korbanos, the Kohanim HaTashmishi Kedusha. So that's why the Kohanim have Kedusha. And that's why the Truma that the Kohen eats has Kedusha. And the Zara is not allowed to eat it, and you're not allowed to eat it in the state of Tumah. But the Levim is nothing with nothing. It's Shevet Levi. There's no such thing as Kedusha as Levi. He's a knacker, he's a kohen. Amach levek al levim. There's a sefer of Levi Yisrael Badish who has a sefer called Kedushas Levi. So he didn't. There is no such thing as Kedushas Levi. He said there's only Shevet Levi. There's no Kedushas Levi. So he says, why? Because the Levim are twice removed from the Karbanis. The Kohanim are Mishamish the Karbanis, and the Levim and the Surim the Surim Heim Alachot. The Levim are Mishamish the Kohanim, and the Kohanim in turn are Mishamish the Karbanis, so the Levim are twice removed. So he said, that's the mocker for this institution. But the Pashtus is not like he said. The Pashtus says there are two dinim, there are two dinim. There's a din of Shevet Levi, there's a din of Kedushas Levi. And the Pashtus says that's exactly the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azar. To whom, on the level of the Raisa, to whom do you give the Maaser Rishon? Rabbi Akiva says you give it to one who has Kedushas Levi, so Kohanim don't have Kedushas Levi. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azar says, no, you give it to one who belongs to Shevet Levi. So the Kohanim also belong to Shevet Levi. And then we had the Gemara last week said, Ezra penalized the Levim. So that's what Tosis writes in Ksubis, in the second parak in Ksubis, the Gemara discusses this penalty. Why did he penalize the Levim? Because when he was bringing the Jewish people back at the end of the 70 years ago, it was Bavel, not enough Levim came back. And the whole purpose of coming back was to complete the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and bring Karbanos. You have to have Levim. So if you don't have enough Levim, you can't function. You can't run a base. I mean, you can't stay up 24 hours a day. They have to have different shifts. So he told everybody to stop by the river and had to go back to Babel to schlep more Levim. So he penalized the Levim. So it doesn't say in Tanakh. Tosfos says, Rashi and Tosfos say, it never says in Tanakh that he penalized. It was a tradition that the Tanaim had. Ezra Konas as Halavim. So what exactly was the penalty that he penalized the Levim? So the Gemara implies there, never tells it explicitly here, same thing Agamar. The Gemara understands if the din min haTorah was that you can only give Maaser Rishon to the Levim, if you're like Rabbi Akiva, the Rambam passes like Rabbi Akiva, min haTorah can only give Maaser Rishon to the Levim, so the penalty of the Rabbanim was you have a choice, you can either give it to the Kohanim or to Levim. But if the din min haTorah was that you can give it to Kohanim or Levim, so the penalty was you can only give it to Kohanim. You can't give it to the Levim. So that's what the Gemara says. After Ezra made the penalty, Lebasa de Kansinu Ezra, after Ezra made the penalty, so they changed the din deraisa. How can you change the din deraisa? So the answer is it's din imamunus. It's an issue of din imamunus. And when you say Hefke Bez and Hefke, so they changed it. The Chachamim have the right to change anything they want in the area of din imamunus. It's always based on the rule of Hefka Bez and Hefka. So that's what we learned. That's what we learned last week. So we're up to the fourth line from the bottom. The Gemara says, "Dorash Merem Hilchas Hakavasit the Rav." Number one, we pass like Rav. The Rav says that a Levim are a suffix if they're included in Am. The Machlek is Hatanaim. He's not sure which Tana to accept, which opinion to accept. Rav is Mesupik, so therefore he says, Hamotzi Machaber Olavarai, so the Levim don't have to give Zralach Hayayim V'Hakev. Then the Gemara adds Zan, V'Hilchus HaKavasa de Rav Chizda, three lines from the bottom, and we pass it like Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda was, there was a whole block Gemara, Kuf Lamanam and Beis, Kuf Laman Aleph, Laman Aleph. Rav Chizda said, if a person shechts a behemah, and he has Zralach Hayayim V'Hakev, he has to give it to the Kohanim, and then the one who the owner of the behemah eats the whole thing up. So he's a gazlan, so he has to pay, it's $150 worth of flesh, he should have to pay that amount. So Rav Chizda says he learns that from a pasuk, or he knows from a svaritz, mamash ein latovim. There's no particular kohen who can come and say, you owe me the zralach hayayim v'hakeva, because the balabas who shechts the behemah always has a toivus hana, he has the right to give it to whichever kohen he wants. So since there's no particular kohen has the right to be to him, so that's what Rav Chizda says, a mazik matnas kuna o shacholon, if somebody eats up matnas kuna, if he steals the zralach hayayim v'hakev and he still has it, so we tell him give it back, you have the gzela b'yensa, give it to a kohen. But if he stole it and he destroyed it, or he stole it and he ate it, it's gone. The shadows, does he have to make out a check and pay somebody from Shevet Kuna the $150 that it's worth? So that's what Rav Chizda says, there's no need, you don't have to pay. So the Gemara was asking kashas from all over, but the Gemara defended Rav Chizda. So the Gemara says now, Hilchas Rav Chizda. We pass on like Rav Chizda. Then the Gemara tells a story, three lines from the bottom. There is a discussion here. There's a thesis, Kuflam and Beis Amar Aleph, the second thesis. There was a Rav Kahana. In the days of Damaran, there was a Rav Kahana. So even though his name is Rav Kahana, the Gemara says he in Nishgiven can Kohen. Like David Cohen of Flatbush. He's not a Cohen. So instead of spelling his name Chof Hei Nun, David Cohen, he spells it Kuf Aleph Hei Nun. Everybody should know that he's Nishkin Kohen. Okay. How do you get the name David Cohen? I don't know. So this Rav Kahana, the Gemara says he was not a Kohen. And he makes statements to that effect that he was not a Kohen. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha. If we assume that Rav Kahana was not a Kohen, so there's a Gemara Kiddush in Tosis quotes on Daf Ches. Rav Kahana, when you have a firstborn baby boy, you have to give Pidyon HaBen. You have to do a bris on the eighth day, then you have to do a Pidyon HaBen on the Yom Lamed Aleph, on the 31st day after the baby is born. So you're supposed to give the Kohen 5 slime. You don't have to give him cash. You can give him shavah kesef. So the Gemara says a person gives talis zeh pidyumni, he wants to give a garment. Egel zeh pidyumni, he wants to give an eagle, an animal. Or the Gemara says Rav Kahana took a suitor. They gave him a fancy kafia, a head covering, like the Arabs wear. That's a suitor. They gave him a suitor. So the Gemara tells the story, the suitor really wasn't worth 5 slime, but he needed a suitor that day, so he would have been prepared to pay even up to 5 slime to get a suitor. So Yaitse Pidyon HaBen, since he says, Ledidi Shavli, as far as I'm concerned, it's worth 5 slime, so Yaitse Pidyon HaBen. So Tesis is asking a question, how come they gave Pidyon HaBen to Rav Kahana? But the Gemara says all over the place, Rav Kahana was not a Kohen. He married a Kohen, but he himself was not a Kohen. So Tosfos answers, there was more than one person by the name Kahana, Rav Kahana. One was not a Kohen, and one of them was a Kohen. Right. That's what Tosfos answers over here. There were two different Rav Kahanas, and they write in the middle, Be'acher Yesh, and there was another Rav Kahana, Shehoya Kohen. Where is that? Be'perakam de Kedushin Daf Ches. In the first Perakim of Tosfos, Rav Kahana took a suitor for Pidyon HaBen. He looked there, it says, I know Tosfos Kedushin Daf Ches. Look in the Tosfos there on that daf. So Tosfos says over there, no, it was the same Rav Kahana. He was married to a Kohenes, and his wife is entitled to take Pidyon HaBen. So when the Gemara says that Rav Kahana took a suitor for Pidyon HaBen, he was taking on behalf of his wife. He said, my wife is a Kohenes. Now, usually if a Kohenes, if a girl is born to a father who's a Kohen, so the girl is a Kohenes, and she's allowed to eat truma. The minute she marries a non-Kohen, she's not allowed to eat truma. If a girl is a Levi or Yisraelis, and she's not allowed by birth, she's not allowed to eat truma. When she marries a Kohen, she is allowed to eat truma. So that's based on the concept, the Sefer HaChinuch says, it's based on the concept that Ishti Keguf on Baal Ki Ishti. So we say Ishti Keguf, the Gemara derives it from other psukim, so the Sefer HaChinuch says, here's an example of Ishti Keguf. If the Kohenes marries a non-Kohen, you say Ishti Kegufa, she ois Kohenes temporarily until she gets divorced. Once she gets divorced and the husband dies, then she returns back to become a Kohenes. And if she's not a Kohenes, but she married a Kohen, so Eish is Kohen, Achel is Betruma, even though by birth he's not a Kohenes. So here, Tosfos claims Rav Kahana had the right to take Pidyon HaBen on behalf of his wife, even though the wife was married to a non-Kohen. She remains a Kohenes. She's not a Kohenes with respect to eating truma, but she's still a Kohenes with respect to being entitled to get Pidyon HaBen money. Do they have any mocker for such an idea? Even though she's not a Kohenes with respect to eating truma, because she married a Rav Kahana, she married a non-Kohen, but she still retains a din of Kohenes with respect to the right to take Pidyon HaBen money. So Tosfos says, yeah, our Gemara says like that with respect to Zrola Chayayim B'Hakeva. The Gemara says there were several Amoraim, where is it? Here, about 6 or 7 lines from the top, the line begins with the words Rav Kahana. So it says Rav Kahana was not a Kohen, but his wife was, he married a Kohen. It's Rav Kahana Ochal Bishvil Ishtoi. He took Zor L'Chayayim V'Akeva. People would give him Zor L'Chayayim V'Akeva on behalf of his wife. Zor L'Chayayim V'Akeva doesn't have Kedusha in it. It's not like Truma or Bikuri Machala that has Kedusha that a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat. Zor L'Chayayim V'Akeva is Matnas Kulim, like Pidyon HaBen money. It doesn't have any Kedusha. You give the money to the Kohen, he can do whatever he wants with the money. So when you give the Zor L'Chayayim V'Akeva to a Kohen, or the Gemara says, There's a machlekes, the machlekes and this daf, that gives Ralach Hayam Akeva to a Kohenis. Whenever the Torah has a din, that a special dinim that applied to Kohanim, does it only apply to the male Kohanim, or does it even apply to the women, to the Benos Kohanim? So some of the dinim we know beferish, let's say Tumas HaKohen. A Kohen is not allowed to be Metame LeMeisim, so the Pasuk says at the beginning of Parshas Emor, Emor LaKohanim B'nei Aharon. So the Chazal had a tradition, B'nei Aharon V'lo Benos Aharon. That a Kohen does not have the din of a Kohen with respect to Tumas LeMeisim. What about with respect to Hakrovus HaKarbonus? Also not. A Kohenis cannot be Makriv Karbonus. The Mishlam Melech has a suffix. If a Zar is Makriv Karbonus, if a non-Kohen is Makriv Karbonus, so the Pasuk reads, be just that. Azar HaKarev Yumas. What does it mean, Azar HaKarev Yumas? If a non-Kohen, a Zar means a non-Kohen, HaKarev means that it's going to be Makriv Karbonus on the base of Hamikdash, so Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Mishlam Melech has to say, what if there's a Kohen who's a Balmum and it's Makir Kabbalah? That's not a Zar. That's not a Zar. What if there's a Kohen Echveisu, some other kind of a Psul, some other Psul? He's not always Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. A Zar Akar of Yumas if you're not a Kohen. So the Mishlam Melech writes a suffix about a Bas Kohen. When the Torah says that a Bas Kohen, a girl who was born to her father's a Kohen, so she can't be Makru Karbonis. They say that the Kohanos are considered like a Zar with respect to Hakrobos HaKarbonis, and they'll be Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. Well, you say, no, it's a Psul, because you have to wear Big Dekuna. Big Dekuna is only for the male Kohanim, not for the females. And that's why she can't be Makru Karbonis. But it's not the, she wouldn't be considered like a Zar. So that's the Mishnah Melech is Mesupik about that. Whether a Kohenes will be Makru Karbonis, will it be Misa B'dei Shemayim? Is the Kohenes considered like a Zarana? So the Gemara says here that there were several Amoraim who themselves were not Kohanim, but their wives were Kohanos, was a Bas Kohen. So Rav Kana Ochel, he ate Zorlach HaYayim Tekeva B'shvil Ishta. Rav Papa also was not a Kohen, and his wife was a Bas Kohen. Ochel he ate Zorlach HaYayim Tekeva B'shvil Ishta. It has no Kedusha. You can give it to a Zar also, but you can give it to a Zar to eat. The Kohen can give it to a Zar to eat. The one who owns the animal that was geshocht and has a mitzvah to give it to the Kohen. Then what the Kohen does with it? He doesn't have to eat it himself. He can give it. It's not covered on mitzvah to feed it to the dogs, to feed it to the animals, to feed it to anachrim. It's not to covered it. It's a mitzvah. The Gemara says when you eat the Zorah Chayam Vakayiv Nevna has no Kedusha, you should eat it in a bekovedik fashion. And Mar learns out in the Pasuk, the Moshcha. All of the matans could not consider the mashcha because it should be eaten and because the confession. The mashcha, the gedula, gedach sham locha mochlem, you should eat it sli b'chardim. You shouldn't make it, you shouldn't cook it, you should broil it and dip it into mustard. To eat it in a very fancy way because it should be a b'kavad dig mitzvah. The mashcha, the gedula, gedach sham locha mochlem. And the Gemara applies it, the original pasuk, the Gemara applies it, it's been a ger to Zorah Chayyam, okay, it has no Kedusha. So Mestomet to feed it to the dogs is not right, even though it doesn't have Kedusha. But to give it to a Zar, a Jewish person, give it to a Zar, that's okay. So the Gemara says, all of these Amoroyim were not Kohanim. Rabbi Emar Acham Bishvil Ishtoi, Rabbi Dibar Rabin Acham Bishvil Ishtoi, a whole bunch of Amoroyim. They were non-Kohanim, but they married a Bas Kohen, and these opinions, they hold a you are yotze the mitzvah of Zorah Chayyam Akeva if you give it to a Bas Kohen. It doesn't have to be given to a male Kohen, it can give it to a female Kohenes, and she can give it to her husband if she wants. So that's why they gave it to the husband. So Taisa is there in Kiddushin, has a Chiddush. Taisa over here in the Daf does not seem to agree. Taisa in Kiddushin has a Chiddush that Pidyon HaBen money is the same thing. You yotze Pidyon HaBen if you give it to a female Kohenes. And even if she's married to a non-Kohen, when she's married to the non-Kohen, she loses her status as Kohenes, b'negeh to eating truma. But b'negeh to Zorah L'chayyam V'akeh, b'negeh b'feresh, even though she's married to the Amoraim who are not Kohanim, she's still entitled to get Zorah L'chayyam V'akeh. So you can give it to the husband, he should be zeichah for the wife, and the one who gives it to the husband is yotze the matnas kuna, and the husband can eat it. There's no issur to be eaten by a zar. So the Tosfos claims that Tosfos in Kiddushin has a Chiddush that just like you can be Yotzei Zorah L'chayyam V'akeh, you give it to a Kohen, so the same is true if you give picking up that money. To a Kohenis is also good. And even if the Kohenis is married to a non-Kohen, he can give the money to the husband and your Yotze. So the Mishnah Melech points out that the Rambam disagrees. That the Rambam lists off which Matnas Kuna can be given to females and which only to male Kohanim. So the Rambam is Mefurish Natsa. So in Yerideya, Rabbi Kiveger has a comment, has a running commentary on the whole Yerideya. They took all the comments that he wrote on the margin. He must have had a wide margin on his Shulchan Aruch because he has an awful lot of comments. So he had different sets of Shulchan Aruch and he had several children. So one child printed the set of Haaretz that he had in one edition. The other son went to South Africa, to Johannesburg, and he printed a set. So now in Eretz Yisrael, they print Rabbi Kiveger HaShalem. They print the Shulchan Aruch. They put together the Haaretz from the both editions by the children of Rabbi Kiveger. So in the Johannesburg edition, they have on the Sharblot on the first page. So it says on the first page, this is a Shulchan Aruch, and we have the Mechaber and the Ramo and the Shach and the Taz and the Vilna Gaon, and it has some big letters, and it has Rabbi Kiveger because it was printed by Rabbi Kiveger's son. So that's the big deal. It has Chidush Rabbi Kiveger that they copied from Tzav Yad Kotshei, from the manuscript that they had. So Rabbi Kiveger points out there in his commentary on the Yerideya that this machlokes, the Mishnah Melech pointed out, the machlokes, the Rambam and Tosfos, are you in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen if you give it to a Bas Kohen? It really depends on the machlokes hatanoim, on our daf. The Gemara has a whole machlokes. How did they arrive at this conclusion that you can give Zerah L'chayayim v'hakeva to a Kohenis? So the Gemara starts off like this. Here we'll see the Gemara, three lines from the bottom of Kuf Lamed Aleph from the base.
In the Pasha, it talks about balancing the Leviim against the Bechorim, and you had some left over. Why didn't they use some of the women in order to balance off the remainder? If the Bas Leviim could get
Pidyon HaBen. I don't know. No, Pidyon HaBen is only Kohanim, not Leviim. But you're asking, why shouldn't a Bas Levi also be? I don't know. So why did Rabban Shalom only insist that only males count? The females don't count? I don't know. It's a good question. So the Gemara tells us that Ula Haviyad Matanta, Matanas means Ralach Hayayim HaKeva. So Ula lived in Bavel. All these people, they all lived in Bavel, and they're all giving Zerah L'chayayim HaKeva. That's what Tosfos screams on Rashi. How can Rashi say that Halacha L'maisa, the Gemara says, no Galma, the Minik Ha'olam is Kahani Klas Savi, like the following three Tanoim from the earlier generation. Savi means old Tanoim from earlier generations, and one of them is that we don't give Zerah L'chayayim HaKeva Chutzlots. What do you mean, no Galma? But all the Amorim, they all lived in Bavel, and they're all giving Zerah L'chayayim HaKeva. That's why Tosfos is not happy with Rashi. Most of the Rishonim disagree with that Rashi. That's why I mentioned this Lubavitcher young fellow who printed a whole fat book and he quoted every Rishon under the sun who says that it's not right that we should give Zerah L'chayayim HaKeva in v'chutzlarts. He's trying to convince all of the Hashgacha organizations that when they shech beimus, they should give Zerah L'chayayim HaKeva to the Kohanim, or they should make a shutfus with a goy in advance in order that they'll be potter. They should do something. But the way we're doing it now, the behemoth belongs to the Jews, and you shecht, and you don't give Zerah L'chayayim HaKeva, you're mevatel the mitzvah.
Is he a Kohen?
I don't know. So the Gemara tells the story, Ula gave the matanis to a kahanta, to a female, a bas kohen. So Rava had a taina. How can you say that a kohenes has the same din as a kohen? There are a lot of special dinim that apply to kohen. So one of the dinim is when somebody brings a mincha to the Beis Hamikdash, she bring a mincha and a klisharis, and the kohen does kmitza with his right hand. He takes a fistful of flour, mix the flour with oil, mincha blula b'shem, mix it with the oil, you do blila, and then you makter the kometz, you burn this little bit, whatever is held, only the three middle fingers. The little bit of flour that's here, you burn on the mizbeach, and then all the rest of the flour you give to the zichri kuna, and they eat it. But if a kohen brings a mincha, chamichas kohen, kol tia lo seyachel. That's the bottom line on the page, on kuf lamed aleph and beis. Chamichas kohen, kol tia, you burn the whole thing, lo seyachel, you're not allowed to eat it at all. So that din, that minchas kohen, you don't do kmitza. You only do kmitza if you're going to burn the kohenetz, and the shirayim, whatever is left over after doing the kmitza, is necheles. The shirayim anacholim tizich rekuna. But if a mincha is kohen, you burn the whole thing, so there's no use in doing any kmitza. So you don't do kmitza. You makta the whole thing. So the din is minchas kohanis is nachelas. If she's a female kohanis, the pasuk doesn't apply. Minchas kohen ain't nachelas. So Frag the Gemara, Ula held that female kohanim have the din of kohanim benegir to zolach hayayim akeva. So how did the Tana know, and this abraisa, how did the Tana know that the din of minchas kohen kolotia shouldn't apply to a bas kohen? It should apply equally to male and female. That was the kasha. So he says, no, amale. So Ula responds to Rabbi's kasha, and he says, me tunach, no, from your kasha. You're asking a kasha from the pasuk, and that pasuk says, it says, has the chamichas kain koltia, no. I forgot to bring my glasses. So what does it say here? The top Rashi on Kuflam and Beis quotes the pasuk. Zos Torahs Amincha Hakrevosa Bnei Aharon El Hamizbeach Veher Mimena Bekumtzas. It says the word Bnei Aharon. So just like in the beginning of Parshas Emor, it says that Bnei Aharon V'lo Benos Aharon. The Isa Tumah LeMeisim only applies to male Kohanim, doesn't apply to female. So this din also that you don't Minchas Kohen Kolotia Lo Seyachel. Only applies to Bnei Aharon, because in that pasuk that you're quoting, Chamin Chas Chayim called here, the parsha begins with the phrase Bnei Aharon. So Taras Chamin Chakrevos Bnei Aharon. So it says Bnei Aharon, not Benos Aharon. So that for sure. That din for sure, but Minchas Kohen. For sure the din doesn't apply to a bas kohen. The question is, what about every other place where there's a din of kohanim? Does it only apply to the male kohanim, or does it even apply to the female, to the bas kohanim? So the Gemara quotes a machlokes hatanoim. So some tanoim say that the one tana says over here, the reason, how is the Gemara? Yeah, the third line from the top. The Bei Rav Lezer Mayankev Tana, there's a braisa, where they quote Rav Lezer, and the yeshiva Rav Lezer and Yankov, they had the following braisa: Kohen mafilo kohenes, habimiyut achamiyut, admiyut achamiyut, elu lerabbis. Whenever it says kohen, it means a male kohen. It doesn't mean a female kohen. But in this pasuk by Zvala Chayam Akeva, the word kohen is mentioned twice. We start off with that. Zeyem mishpato kohenim eisa meizel chesevichim shorim se, v'nasan la kohen hazro halachayim akeva. So it already says in the beginning of the pasuk Kohanim, then it says V'nasan HaKohen. So each time Kohen should imply V'lo Kohenes, where you say it's a Miut HaMiut, Miut HaMiut is L'Rabbis. So therefore here it means that you can be Yotze giving Zohar HaYam HaKeva to a Kohenes. So Gemara presents it that it's really a Machlokes HaTanoim. Whenever it says Stam Kohen HaOmer BaTorah, does it apply only to the male Kohen, or does it even apply to the female? So that's what Rabbi Kibegi writes in his comments on the Shulchan Aruch Yeridei. This machlokes between Chesus and the Rambam, Ayu Yotzei, Pidyon HaBen, if you give it to a Bas Kohen, is a machlokes HaTanaim. He says simply a machlokes, which Tana, which opinion in the Tanaim to accept. If you order Stam Kohen, Homer Batar only applies to male Kohanim, so then you can't be Yotzei by giving Pidyon HaBen to a Bas Kohen. But if you hold Stam Kohen, Hamer Batayra includes women as well, except if you have a pasuk that says Bnei Aharon, like by Tumah or by Minchas Kohen, it says Bnei Aharon, so whenever there's no miut, so the word Aha Kohanim includes female Kohanim as well. That's what Rabbi Kivegi says. He says, as a Taina, Nishlam Melech presented as if it's a Numach Leikas Tesis in the Ram of Yesh Meyayin. He says, Nishke Mach Leikas Yesh Meyayin, and Alta Mach Leikas HaTanayin. And it's simply Mach Leikas is which Tana to Paskan.
What is the halacha with giving a Pidyon HaBen to a Kohanim?
That's the Mach Leikas Tesis.
Well, I mean, what's
I don't know if there is any. I don't think it's discussed in Shulchan Aruch. I think just Rabbi Kivegi quotes the Nishlam Melech, that it's a Mach Leikas Tesis in the Rambam. And he says, it's earlier, it's a machlokes hatanaim, right over here, under our noses. Whether, whenever, there's no pasuk one way or the other. One holds that here, it's a miut achamiut l'rabbi, so that's why you can give zvalach hayayim v'akeva to a bas kohen. And the other tanaim hold faket, that you have to have a pasuk that excludes the women. B'nei aharon lo menos haron, so the nafkamin will be. If you have a pasuk But there's no meal this direction and no meal that direction. Stomach. What would you say? So that's exactly the machlokes hatanoi. So in the beginning, the Gemara said, Hilchos HaKirav, we started from the fourth line from the bottom. Dorosh Merema, we started from the fourth line from the bottom, Kuf Lamed Aleph. Merema said, Hilchos HaKavosid Derav, we pass like Rav that it's a sake of the Dina whether Levim are included in Am. Say Yemishpat Takonim Esam, whether Levim are obligated to give Zolach Hayam Akeva. So Rab said, they don't have to give. So he says, the din is like Rab. Hilchos HaKavosid Rav Chizde. The Rav Chizde was the whole Daf Gemara. Whoever steals Matnas Kahuna, if he still has it, you got to give it away to the Kohen. If you don't have it, you ate it up. Sintomit Vemen Tzereden, there's no Kohen who has the ability to be Tavir you. Because it's not Miyuchat for any particular Kohen. So you don't have to pay. If you destroyed it or you ate it, then you don't have to pay. So he says, we pass like that. So now the Gemara repeats again. Hilchos HaKavosid Derav, Hilchos HaKavosid Derav Chizav, Hilchos HaKavosid De'ula. Ula, that you are, it is acceptable if he gives Ralachayim Vakeva to a female Kohenes, he will say Yaitse. But that can be for one of two reasons. The Gemara, either because whenever it says Kohen Stam, it includes Kohenes, or maybe because in Miyotach Miyotach El Rabbis, it says the word twice. It says Kohenim, and then it says Kohen. So he says three psokim, and then he says a fourth psak be hilchasa, and the din is also kavase de ravada baraba. What's the tegas of who is ravada baraba? He says the next. We didn't have him yet. That's the next line. As was, if a kohen has a baby boy, or if a kohen has a baby, a kohen or a levi have a baby boy, so there's no need for pidyon aben, because if the father's a kohen or a levi, so the child is going to be a kohen or a levi. So a child is a kind child's lady, there's no need for opinion of that. What if the father is a Yisrael and the mother is a Kohenis, or the mother is a Leviyah? Mother's a Kohenis, or the mother's a Leviyah. So the Pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, the Mishpachosim, the second Pasuk, the third Pasuk says, you should take a census of an Esau, the Mishpachosim, Leveis HaVoisim. What does that mean? So it means if you have a mixed marriage, the husband is from one Shevet, and the wife is from another Shevet, so which Shevet do the children belong to? They belong to the father Shevet and the mother Shevet. So we don't know too much about Shvat. We know about Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. So the status of the father determines the status of the children. The father's a Kohen, so the child is a Kohen. The father's a Levi, the father's a Levi. So here, if the mother's a Kohen, so Levi, and the father's Yisrael, so the children are not Kohen, they're not Levim. So you should have said that they need Piyon. Then, so Ravada Barava came up with a Chiddush, and he says Hilchos HaKavosid Ravada Barava. He says we pass like him also as was, that if it's a Kohenis or a Leviya, the mother is either Kohenis or Leviya. She yolda, she gives birth to a baby. Benot pata micham mishlon. Why is that so? So the Gemara explains then the next to the last parak, and Pcheres has all the dinim of pidyon aben, almost all the dinim. The Gemara is not so mesunetic. The dinim of pidyon aben scattered all over Shas. But the whole parak all about Yesh Pchar. Well, most of the dinim of pidyon aben are there. In Shulchan Aruch it's one simon shin hay, and the third chelik yeridah has all the dinim of pidyon aben. So the Gemara says, why is it that if the mother is a kohenes or leviya, but the child is not a kohen and nishkan levi, because the mishpachosim leveis avoisim, only mishpachasam kri mishpacha, mishpachasim eni kri mishpacha. So the Rabbah Barava says, why? Because the peterechem tala rachman. If the baby would be a cesarean delivery, the din wouldn't apply. It's only if it's a natural birth. So it depends on peterechem of an Israel. So if the mother's a kohenes or leviya, since the peterechem tala rachmana, and she's a leviya, she's a kohenes, then the din doesn't apply. So the Gemara Dam Chorus has the following funny din. What if there's a kohenes or a leviya who's married to a goy? She's living with a non-Jewish woman. By us, it's Maisim Mechal Yom. A Kohenes or Leviya marries a goy, so they have a child. So the child is Jewish. The child is Nishke Kohen, Nishke Levi, because of Mishpachosim Levi Savosim, the father is not Jewish. The child is not a Kohen, not a Levi. But the question is, but Peterechem Tala Rachman. So the Gemara has a funny twist. So the Gemara says, a Kohenes who's Nivala to a Nochri loses her Kedusha's Kahuna. So by the time the baby is born, she was nivela to the goy at least 9 months before, maybe after that also. So Kohenes is nivulah to Anochri, loses, forfeits her status of Kohenes, and she's Ois Kohenes. So by the time the baby is born, her rechem, her pet rechem, is no longer a Kohenes. But if she's a Leviah, who is married to a Nochri, living with a Nochri, and then she gives birth to a baby, so there is no such din. There's a din. A Zayna is not allowed to eat Truma. Who's a Zayna? Nivulah lepasala. If a woman is living with a Goy, that's one example. Nivula to a Goy, to a Mamzer, to a Cholol, to a Revit, Kaini, any one of these four people, see, she becomes Nivula Lepasala. Let's say a girl is having an affair with different, every week another boy, one of the Jewish girl, and some of the boys are not Jewish. So she can't marry a Kain later on. That's the Pasuk says, Zayna is Asur Lekai. If every week she has a different Jew, she's very careful, she's very medakpek, every week she sleeps with a different, but they're all Jewish. So strictly speaking, according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, she's not called a Zayna. But the Beis Shmuel says that he thinks it's more correct to be machmer like the other Rishonim, or pasken like the other Tanaim. The Zayna kipshuta, if every week she has a different boyfriend, that's also a Zayna. But the Rambam doesn't pasken like that. The Rambam passes only, it's only called Nivula, it's only called the Zayna, if Nivula l'pasala, she's Nivula to a Goy, Chala Nasa Mamza Eved Akum, then she's Nivula l'pasala. So the Gemara says the din is that a Zayna is not allowed to eat Truma. So if a Kohenes is Nivelas to an Achri, by the time the baby is born, she's Ois Kohenes. But if a Leviah is Nivelas to an Achri, so there's no din that a Zayna is Asura to eat Maiserishin. Maiserishin can be eaten by a non-Levi also. It doesn't have Kedusha. Doesn't have any Kedusha. Maiserishin can be eaten by Tuma, and Maiserishin can be eaten by Zar. Truma has Kedusha, so Truma may not be eaten, the Tuma may not be eaten by Azar. That's what led the Arsameach to say that the Levim don't have any Kedusha. And that's why the Maiserishin that you give them doesn't have any Kedusha. So that the Maiserishin doesn't have Kedusha, that everyone agrees. You're permitted to eat it. The Gemara has a drasha. It says that Kohanim can eat Achal Tamaisa B'chol Mokum, that can eat the Maiserishin anywhere, means it doesn't have to be eaten in Yerushalayim, it doesn't have to be eaten in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara has a drush of Achal Tamasa B'chol Mokum, Afilu B'veis HaKvaris, that the Levim can eat it even in the cemetery, that it may be eaten B'tumen. That's how the Gemara says, Achal Tamasa B'chol Mokum, Afilu B'veis HaKvaris, even though the Levi is in a state of Tumah, he's allowed to eat. So the Gemara says, the Leviah, there is no din that a Leviah Shenivula L'Nachri becomes a Zayna, and she's not allowed to eat Maiserish. There was one Tana Rav Meir held like that, but the Gemara just dismisses it. We don't pass like Rav Meir. We say Leviah does not lose Kedushas Leviah, but the Kohenes loses Kedushas Kehuna. So the Gemara says, the Kohenes Shenivula to a Nochri, by the time the baby is born, she's always Kohenes, so the baby boy will need Pidyon Abed. So that's what Tosfos Fek Akasha. But every Kohenes is a Leviah also. So mitzad the fact that she's a Leviah, V'choftal Mekam is Nikro Kan Levim. So mitzad the fact that she's a Leviah, and the Kedushas Leviah she doesn't lose. That's what Taisa says, no, you see from the Gemara, that whoever is a Kohen or a Kohenis, it doesn't have Kedushas Levi. Whoever has Kedushas Kuna doesn't have Kedushas Levi. Shevet Levi they are, but Kedushas Levi they don't have. That's the Taisus in the end of Chorus. It's on this din. When the Gemara in Chorus has this din, of Leviah Sheyolda B'not Pata Mechamis Loim, and Leviah, the din, she's Pata from Chamis Loim, even if she's Nevelis to a guy, even if she's living with a guy, still she retains the din of Leviah. But a Kohenes, who's Nevelis to a guy, loses her Kedushas Kuna. So that's where the Taisus makes that comment, that you see that Kohanim are not Leviim. Next, Gemara tell the Mishnah, let me just say it, Baal Peh, the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim. If you shechta beheme, that's a hybrid of two different animals, kilai, you're not allowed to breed together two animals. But if someone, they happen by itself, the Gemara says, b'choris in the first parak, the kosher animal and non-kosher animal are so different, they cannot breed together and have lotus. But if you have two kosher animals, even if one is behema, one is achaya, we were discussing there are differences between behema and achaya. The way to tell the difference the Gemara has is by the shape of the horns. And sometimes not so easy to if they're really antlers, or they're just horns. If they're really spread out like that, then it's achaya. And if it's just a horn, cows also sometimes have bulls, have horns. That's a behemoth, that's not a chayit. But if it has antlers that are really spread out, then it's considered a chayit. What are the differences? What are some of the differences? So chaylev is only asa, chaylev behemah is asa, chaylev chaya is muta. Osav ezbeno only applies if it's a behemah. If it's a chaya, there's no din of osav ezbeno. Kisui hadam, that when you shachat, we learned the whole pair of kisui hadam, the shachat, it says in the pasuk, ish kiyotsu seit chaya o'of, only chaya o'of, chickens and turkey and deer need kisui hadam. Behemah does need kisui hadam. So yeah, and Zralach Hayam v'Hakeva, this din only applies to Bishach. How does the pasuk say? Zeya mishpat hakanim esam me'ezev charesevach imshor imseh. Imshor is behemah gasa, and it says behemah daka. Behemah gasa, behemah daka, not the one who's fatter than the other. Behemah gasa is a 9-month pregnancy. Behemah daka is a 5-month pregnancy. It's a different kind of an animal, but they can breed together. Behemah gasa, behemah daka can breed together, provided they're both kosher. And behemah v'chayah can also breed together if they're both kosher. Even though they're so different, they can breed together and they can have lotus. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. There's a machlokes hatanaim, Reb Lezer and the Chachamim, are you chayev if you shecht an animal that's a hybrid? It's a kelayim. It's a blend of two different animals. If it's a blend of shor oseh behemah gas behemah daka, but they're both behemahs. So all the behemoths are subject to the mitzvah of Zralach Hayayim HaKeva, so it doesn't bother me. He's still chayiv in Zralach Hayayim HaKeva. What if it's a breed of a behemoth and a chayiv? So biologically it's a half behemoth, half chayiv. Is there a mitzvah to give Zralach Hayayim HaKeva? So the Gemara raises the issue. We discussed this a long time ago, so the Gemara brings it up to Kitzeh here. When you have human beings, so we just quoted the pasuk in the very beginning of Chumash Bamidbar. The second and the third pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar says the mishpachosim leveis avosim. You determine the status of the children, whether the children are kohanim, levim, or shevet yisoch and shevet zvulun. That's determined by the father. The mishpachosim leveis avosim. How to take a census of each shevet to know how many people over the age of 20 they drafted in the army only after the age of 20. Not supposed to draft from 18 on. That's what Rashi says in the pasuk, Kol Yotzei Tzava B'Yisrael. You only draft him in the army from the age of 20 on. So you have to know how many potential soldiers are there in Shevet Reuven, how many potential soldiers are there in Shevet Shimon. So if you have a mixed marriage, the father's from one Shevet, the mother's from the other Shevet, so all the children, they're counting the males. The women are not drafted in the army. That's Beferish in the Chumash. You're not supposed to draft women in the army. So the status of the children and the mixed marriage is determined by the father, not by the mother. So that's by human beings, that's for sure. And the Gemara says, let's say you have a mixed marriage where the both parents are not Jewish, and the halacha recognizes different nationalities by the goyim. By us, it doesn't make a difference if they're French or Chinese or Japanese or British, but it makes a difference. Are you an Amaleki? So we give you one. You have one room in our heart for the Amaleki. And then Ayuchiti Amar Prizi Yusi Girgoshi from the Zionumas, you have another place in the heart for them. Achrim Tachrim. Supposed to wipe everybody out, the men, the women, and children. And then you have special din for Amoine Mayovi and Mitzvi Vedaimi. Each group has a different din. So what if you have a mixed marriage? One parent is one of these, either Chiti Amori or Mitzvi Vedaimi or Mayovi and Amoine, and the other parent is not. So the Gemara says, if the both parents are not Jewish, the pasuk that we said from the beginning of Bamidbar applies to the mishpachosim lebeis avosim. The Gemara says, "Be'umas haloich achar azocher." That's it. On the end of kiddusha, just like by the Jews, if you have a mixed marriage, both parents are Jewish, but one is a kohen or a levi, the other one is not. So you determine the status of the children based on the father. So that pasuk, the mishpachosim lebeis avosim, applies to the non-Jews as well. So the status of the children is determined by the father. So that's clear, that the father plays a role in determining the status of the children. He plays more of a role than the mother. If the father's a kohen, the mother is not. Everything is determined by the father. But the child is mesiaches both after the father and the mother. Even though the mother carries the baby for 9 months, the father can only be there for one night and then he disappears from the scene. But still, al pidin, the child is mesiaches after the father. By behemoths, that's the shaila. By behemoths, is the Vlad Mesiachas after the father? Maybe a Vlad is only Mesiachas after the mother who carries the pregnancy for 5 months or 9 months. maybe the father doesn't play a role at all. So that's the machlokes. It's not a biological machlokes, it's a halachic machlokes. But the choshishim, the zera ha'av, it's a strange way of expressing that idea. But what do you mean, are you choshish to zera ha'av? You're not sure if there was a male. Of course there was a zocher over here. If there wouldn't be a zocher, then she wouldn't become pregnant. But that's what it means. Choshim zera ha'av means by animal, in the animal world, is the vlad only misyachis to the mother, and the father al-pidin doesn't play a role at all. They say, no. Choshishim zera ha'av. The vlad is misyachis both after the mother and after the father. So we learned the whole perikos of the Ezbeno. But the Chumash says, Shorva says, Oso, the Ezbeno, it's in the masculine. Oso, the father, the Ezbeno, his vlad, you shouldn't shecht on the same day. So we paskin, not the way it sounds from the pasuk. We paskin, Oso, the Ezbeno applies, you can't shecht the mother in the vlad. And if, even though the pasuk says in the masculine, and if he shechted the father in the vlad, that's a stake of the dina, so it's usher, but you don't get malchus. Why? Because it's a machlokes whether choshishim lezera ha'av rein choshishim, whether the vlad by behemoth is only misachas after the mother, after the father as well. And it's a stake of the dina, how he passed him. It's a little bit, the Torah Shebal Peh reinterprets the pasuk. The simple meaning of the pasuk is that for sure it applies to the father. And the Torah Shebal Peh says not so. I'm sure it applies to the mother, and we're not sure whether it applies to the Pshuta Shal Mikra. What do you do with the rule? Ena Mikra, it's Mene Pshuta. The simple reading of the pasuk sounds like it. For sure it applies to the male parent, to the father. It's a good discussion. So the Gemara quotes that discussion over here. The din of Zvala Chayayim Vakeva only applies Im Shorim Seh. Zayim Mishpatakon Im Esa'om Me'ezav Chazerach Im Shor Im Seh. Shor is Be'imagasa, says Be'imadaka. So the din of Zvala Chayayim Vakeva only applies if it's a Be'im, if it's a Chaya, the din doesn't apply. So the Shaila is, what if the father is a Be'im and the mother is a Chaya? So the vlad, by behemoth, the vlad for sure is misachas after the mother. And the mother is a chayah. So mitzad the mother, there's no mitzvah to give zola chayah v'akeva. The shayla is the behemoth, the vlad by the behemoth, is the only misachas after the mother? Biologically, he's a blend. Half behemoth, half chayah. It's 50-50. But the shayla is al-pidin. So the shayla is al-pidin. If the vlad is not misachas after the father at all, then the vlad is 100% chayah. Because the mother is a chay, the mother is a tzviya, and the father is a tayosh, the father is a behemah. So if you hold ein choshishim lezera ha'av, so the vlad is 100% chay al pidin. Even though biologically it's a half behemah, it's a chay al pidin and not chayiv in zrola chayan hakeva. But if you hold choshishim lezera ha'av, so then you have a question. The vlad for sure is misyachas after the mother. So you say it's also misyachas after the father. So would you say sev afilo miktaseh or sev alo miktaseh? When it says you have to give, can you call a vlad a seh? He's only a half seh. He's a half seh and a half tzvi. He's half and half. So that's machlokes whether sev afilo miktaseh or no, sev afilo miktaseh lo yaminu. You're only chayv if he's kol aseh. And then there's a further question if you hold. If you hold choshishim lezera ha'av, the mother is a tzviya. So mitzad the mother, the vlad would not be chayiv in zvala chayayim hakeva. The vlad would be, as far as she's concerned, the vlad is a chayiv. The father is a behemah. So if you hold sev afilu miktaseh, and therefore you're chayiv to give zvala chayayim hakeva, are you only chayiv to give half machzah because it's 50-50? It's 50% behemah, 50% chayiv, both in mitzias. Biologically, and in halacha, it's 50-50. So you have to give half of the zralach. Zralach hayav akeva, let's say, is worth $150. So you got to give $75 worth. Or do you say, no, maybe we have a riboy from a pasuk, im shor, im seh. Maybe what it means is that you have to give, even though it's only a miktas seh, you have to give the full zralach hayav akeva. So that's the whole discussion the Gemara raises on this da. Gemara raises the step-by-step, the machlek is by the choshishim lezer ha'av, or not, whether only the mother determines by behemoth, only the mother determines the status of the vlad, or the father also. after the father also, but it's only 50-50. So is that called a set? Seva filo mikta set or not? And if you say yes, mikta set, so does that lead you to the conclusion that you have to give chatzi matonas or no? You have a riba in a pasuk that you have to give kol matonas. So that's this gemara. That's the shayla. Maybe meanwhile we'll skip the next mishnah. It's a little detailed. The next mishnah kuf lamed dalet is much easier. Let's say there's a non-Jew, Gershon is Geyer. You have a non-Jew, he's in the process of converting. So they made up, he owns a slaughterhouse. He owns behemoths, and he has Jews who shecht, and he sells the kosher geshecht in the flesh to the Jewish customers. He has it done under hashgach, he doesn't have to shecht himself. He pays shochtim to shecht for him. He went to the mikveh to be mekabel ager. You have to have a bezin, the bezin has to convene by yom. He can't convene a bezin by laila. That's Mishnayos like that. Bezna has to be convened by Yom. So they made up, he's going to be Toivel, and he already had a bris mila, the ger, the owner of the slaughterhouse. He already had a bris mila, and you wait a week or two till he heals. And now today they made up, he's going to go to the mikveh between 10 and 11 in the morning. And then there was shechting behemoth for him between 10 and 11 in the morning. So no one knows exactly, did they shecht the behemoth after he was already Toivel in the mikveh? So he's already Jewish, so he's chayv to give Zvala Chayav Akeva. Or did they shecht the behemoth before he was Toivel in the mikveh? So he's a goy gomer, he's not Jewish yet, even though he already had the bris milah. The Gemara has a non-Jew, even if he had a circumcision, it's still called an orel. But if a non-Jew had a bris milah, the shame geirus, then he's not called an orel. He's still not Jewish. He's 100% goy. You don't see he's half Jewish and half not Jewish. He's 100% not Jewish. He's a goy gomer, but he's not called an orel anymore. So the shaila is, we don't know exactly. He went to the mikveh sometimes between 10 and 11, and they shechted the behemoths. He owns the slaughterhouse. They shechted a couple of behemoths between 10 and 11 in the morning. We don't know that they shechted before he was toivel in the mikveh. Then he was a goy, so he's not chayven to give Zohar Chayim HaKeva. Or did the shechita take place after he was toivel in the mikveh?
Same question on Bechor. Bechor behem also, the same question.
Same shaila, yeah. If he has a farm and the firstborn is a male vlad, and you don't know whether he was born before he was toivel in mikveh or after, so a goy doesn't have a din. If the animal is owned by a non-Jew, there's no din of b'chor behemoter. But if the farm is owned by a Jew, then it's chayv. So you don't know when the vlad was born exactly, a minute before he was toivel, a minute after he was toivel. So by b'chor behemoter, that's a carbon, that has Kedushas carbon on it, so that's Iser. So that's Sofik Deraisa Luchumah. But this is Sofik Bamayna. Here, giving Zvala Chayam Akeva, it's a mitzvah, it's Taka mitzvah, but it's not a bigger mitzvah than Pigyan Aben. Pigyan Aben, you say a bracha over here. I don't know if you say a bracha. The Gemara never says, when you give Zvala Chayam Akeva to the Kohanim, do you say a bracha? I don't know. But Pigyan Aben, you do say a bracha, and still the Mishnah say that by Sufik Pigyan Aben Amertzim Chavel of Harai. So here the Mishnah says by Sufik, that's the Mishnah. Gershon is Gayer. The Ger was Toivel in the mikveh today between 10 and 11. Also a Paro, and he owns a cow, and we know they were shechting it approximately the same time. So it depends. If Nishchata Achaloin is Gayer, if they shechted the cow that he owned before he was Toivel in the mikveh, he's potter from the mitzvah. It's not from the Shemim mitzvah. But if they shechted it, Mishan is Gayer, after he already was converted, after he was Toivel in the mikveh, then Chayef. What if there's a Sofik? So potter, because Amoit Machaber, all of her right. Very easy.
Isn't this the whole discussion we had with Rav Piska before?
Yeah. Rav said that a Levi is a Sufik, whether he's Chayv or not. So therefore you say, Moitzah Mechavel Levaray. So that part of Rav, that's Beferish in the Mishnah. Just like if you have a Sufik, Pidyon Aben, you're not Chayv to give. You have a Sufik, Zerol HaChayim Bekev, you're not Chayv.
So with Rav Chista before, we had all of these Rayas. Why don't we just say that's the Mishnah?
No, Rav Chista said a different thing. Rav Chista said if you steal Matnas Kuna, you burn them, you mazik them, you don't pay. Rav said, if you have a suffix...
But why, according to Rav Kispa, don't you have to pay? Because it's Dain Lo Tovin. There's nobody to pay it to. So isn't that the same thing on Motzal Mechaber on Haraya?
Yes. No, but let's say the guy wants to. The Ger wants to give.
He wants to give. No one's going to stop him.
No, Rav Chisda only says, if you stole the matnas kun and you still have them, then he says you do have to give it back. That was the Gemara we had last week. If you stole it, then you destroyed it, or you stole it and you ate it, and it's no longer the end, it's gone, then Rav Chisda says you're not mechuyev to make out a check. But if you stole the Zerah L'Chayyam Bekevi, you still have it, then you are mechuyev to give it to a kohen. Here, the fellow now is Jewish, and he has the Zerah L'Chayyam Bekevi. He's not interested in stealing it.
I have to give it to a
coin,
or I have to give it back to the
Baal? You have to give it to the
coin. Why don't I have to give it back to the owner?
Give it to the owner, and the owner has an obligation to give it to the coin. Okay.
I, as the Ganafi, my achrayus is to give it back to the owner.
Oh, okay. Give it to the owner, but if it's still the end, give it to the owner. The owner has to give it to the coin.
So back to square one. That's Rav Chisda. I thought Rav Chisda is saying that Emil Tovim, if I have something, who do I give it to?
Eilotah means if I destroyed it, either I ate it or I burnt it, I destroyed it, so then it's mamash eilotah. But if you still have the Zerah L'Chayyam Akeva, you still have the original mitzvah to give it to the Kohanim. So you have to give it back to the owner of the behemah, he should be able to fulfill his mitzvah.
That's totally in returning a stolen article.
Okay.
But the article is a separate din of Mamach and Lotovim. Mamach and Lotovim should be teaching me something in terms of if no one can claim it, therefore I have no obligation. So that should be a totally different topic.
So whoever Shech Tzabema doesn't have to give the Zerah L'Chayyam Akeva, there's no one who can come and claim it. No, that's the mitzvah. I'm Jewish. I know I have a mitzvah to give it away to the Kohanim. So if someone steals the Zerah L'Chayyam Akeva, the ger, he's Jewish now, and he knows he has a ton of Zerah L'Chayyam Akeva. He just doesn't know whether he was the animal geshachten before he converted, so the mitzvah doesn't apply. Was the animal geshachten after he converted, so he does have a mitzvah to give it, but it's still the end. So the Gemara said the din of Rav Chisda doesn't apply when the Zerah L'Chayyam Akeva is still intact. Only if he destroyed it or he ate it up, it's gone already now. Here it's not gone. Here it's still here. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim lived in Bavel, the Talmud Bavli, and Rabbi Yechanan with Rish Lakish, they had yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't have email. So once every couple of months, somebody from Eretz Yisrael would come to Bavel and tell them, oh, Rish Tikal Torah, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. So Ki Osa Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he tells over the following Shtikal Torah, that Rish Romile Rab Shlokish to Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Shlokish was the Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. Had to gefrakt a rumia. Rumia means a contradiction. Yes, akasha. Kasha is a contradiction. Ashayla is a question. What's the din? Akasha means a contradiction. What's the contradiction? We usually assume stam mishnah rabeya. Not always 100%, but usually this mishnah on our daf is a stam mishnah, no name. It's anonymous. So it's probably rabeya. So yes, akasha. Tanan, it says in our mishnah sofik patur. Almas fake lekulam. Whenever you have a suffix, matnas aniyim, matnas kuhuna. You have a suffix in matnas kuhuna, you say, motzim chavir levra. Suffix in pidyon aben, or a suffix in zwala chayam akeva, a motzim chavir levra. I frag the gemara, or a minhu. There's a contradiction from a Mishnah in Peya, that the Mishnah discusses whether something is Peya or not. So, whatever the case happens to be, skip two lines, remei raimer. This is the kasha, because our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. We usually assume Stam Mishnah is Rameir. And there in Pei, and the Mishnah says, Rameir, Mahakol Anim. Whenever you have a Suffolk, you have to go to Chumra and give it to Anim. She's Suffolk Leka Dleka. So shouldn't it be the same thing? Suffolk Matnas Kuhuna and Suffolk Matnas Anim. Shouldn't you say in both of them? Hamoitza Machavir Olivarai. Just like you say here. So maybe there's a Machlok Zatanim, but it's the same Tana. If Stam Mishnah Rav Meir, and there in the Mishnah in Peir, they quote Rav Meir says, Sofik Leket is Leket. This was the Kasha that Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan gives him back, and he says, Omalei, so Rabbi Yechanan answers, Al Takti Teini, don't give me a hard time, don't aggravate me. Shebeloshim Yochad Ani Shaina Oysa. My version of that Rameir is not the way you quoted a Mishnah that says Rameir Rameir. The Mishnah quotes Rameir. So you have a stira Rameir or Rameir. The Stam Mishnah Rameir. I have a different tradition. There's one version that claims that Rav Meir said that, but the majority said Rav Meir never said it. So what's his Rabbi Yochanan's version? The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra Omer Mishum Rabbeya. This Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra claims that the name Rav Meir Safik Leket Leket Safik Shikcha Shikcha Safik Pei Pei. That's the answer. It's wrong. The din is like our Mishnah, that a Safik is Hamotzi Machavel of Haraya, and our Mishnah is talking about Matnas Kahuna. And the same thing applies to Matnas Aniyim, that Amotzi Machaber Olav Haraya. And that Rav Meir, that's one version of Rav Meir, that's incorrect. Because that's only, that's Rav Yehuda ben Igra's version of Rav Meir. Amalos Rish Lakish says, Rabbi, it doesn't make a difference. Who said? Al Tishana Oise Ela Beloshen Ben Tadl, even if a moron said it. But the one who said it over the name Rav Meir gave an explanation of how time Kamar. There's a reason why Suffolk leket leket. The Amr Rish Lakish claimed that the Pshat, this is Rish Lakish speaking. So he says, don't tell me the name, who's authoritative, who's not. Don't tell me who's authoritative. It makes sense over here. Because Rish Lakish said, my dichsib, the Pasuk says, until Anir Rosh Hatzdiku, what does it mean, my Hatzdiku? You should always judge favorably the poor man. I mean, when you have a din Torah, you should always favor the poor man. That's against halacha. Rudala said the Bereva. You're not allowed to say, the rich man, they're fighting about $5, and the rich man is a multimillionaire. The poor man has no parnasa, so I'm going to pass can favor the poor man. Let him give the Torah stock. And so the Torah says, you're not allowed to say that. If he wants to give charity, he'll give charity. But you have to pass can what the din is. I remember there was once a din Torah between the Miri Yeshiva and Yerushalayim and someone in New York. A headhunter. They needed someone to do work for them, raising money in New York. So there was a Shiloh with it, and then they got someone on their own. And it was an exclusive. The agreement was that even if they'll find the man on their own, they still have to pay the headhunter. So then they found someone on their own. So they had a whole ASIC, whether they really agreed or not, but they really agreed that it should be an exclusive. So they went to a din Torah, and the Miri Yeshiva had one rabbi came to America, so he didn't trust any of the rabbis. The other guy didn't trust any of them. I said, they both picked me. Okay. So they came to Yeshiva to tell me the whole story. So I said, the din is that, after listening to the whole story, the din is that the Yeshiva has to pay him a couple of $1,000. That's the din. And then I said, I feel bad for the Yeshiva. So I made out a check for a couple of $100 for the Yeshiva. So the headhunter finally realized he should also support the yeshiva. Was he making a din Torah against the yeshiva? So he said he's mevata. Okay, he's mechal. But strictly speaking, and I'm not a favor of the yeshiva because he's mechiv to support the yeshiva anyway. You have to pass him whatever the din is, and then you can recommend that he should give tzedakah. So that's what the Gemara says. What does the pasuk mean in Tilum? Only Rosh Hatzdiku, you should always Paskin in favor of the poor man. My Hatzdiku, what does it mean? Elam of Bedinim, if you have a Din Torah, you're not allowed to do that. Vaksiva says in the Chumash, Vidala said the Berivo. There are two psukim. There's another pasuk that says, let's say, there's a rabbi has a Din Torah with a balabasa. It would be a bizayin to the rabbi, or the Rosh HaKohol, or an Adam Mechubad, or a big Balstoka has a Din Torah with someone else. You're going to favor the Adam Nichbat. So you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to favor the poor man because Ben Kovako, you have to give him tzedakah. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to favor the Adam Mechubad, not to be Mevayashim. You have to say whatever the din is. You have to pass him whatever the din is. So what does the pasuk mean? On a Rosh Hatzdiku. So it must mean, El Tzadik Mishalach Vetelo. That's what it means. Whenever you have a Safik and Matan Sanim, you have to go to Chumrah. So that's why Rish Lakish says, I don't care whose name is attached to this statement. Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra, we never heard of him. Even if Ben Tadl was an idiot. Even if an idiot said it. But it's based on the pasuk in Tilim, Ani Barash Hatzdiku, Tzadik Mishalach V'tein Loi. So that's the Gemara's Kasha. And for the Gemara, so Rabbi says, it depends, is it Becheskas Chiyav or Becheskas Ptur? Here, the fellow's 25 years old, this Ger. So for the first 25 years in his life, he was not Jewish. And he was tovel in the mikveh between 9 and 10, between 10 and 11 in the morning, and his slaughterhouse is running also between 10 and 11 in the morning. So since it's becheskas p'tur, so you say then he's potter. And when does the pasuk apply? Ani v'rosh hatzdiku. It applies not only to ani matans kun, and the same thing when it's becheskas chiyuv. he was Jewish all along, but the new suffix came up. Maybe he's not chayiv and pay it. Maybe it's not pay, but he was Jewish all along. So that's what the Gemara answered. It depends by the becheskas chiyav or becheskas ptur. In fact, the Gemara kasha, but there's a Mishnah in Challah that has the same as our Mishnah. A non-Jew owns a bakery, and he's not doing the work himself. He owns the bakery. He lives in somewhere else, and he has a bakery in New York. And he has it's run by Jewish workers, and they're not mechayev to be mafresh challah. The owner of the bakery is not Jewish, not mechayev in afreshes challah. But the guy was tovel in the mikveh for geiris today between 10 and 11 in the morning, and we were baking bread for him. We were making lisha, and you become mechayev in afreshes challah at the time of Nesinus Amayim. And we don't know whether we made the Gilgal. The Gilgal is the Elisha, the Nesinus Amayim. Did we do it before he converted? So it's not Chayv and Chala. Or did he do it? Or did we make the Elisha after he converted? So there's Chayv and Chala. So the Mishnah says that Misofi Giwam Chuyiv. Sakam Abba Baris Becheskas Ptur. It was a guy for the last 26 years. And for the Gemara, no. What's a Tzushtel? Chala. If you're not Mafish Chala, it's an Isser. You're not allowed to eat Tevel. That's not Sofik Mamayna Lekul. There's a Sofik Mamayna that you have to give it away to the Kohen. But it's a Sofik Yisura, so you have to be Mafish the Challah because Sofik the Raisa Lechumah, Sofik Yisura Lechumah. Then you have to give it to the Kohen? No, because Hamotz Mechor Elavara, you can sell it to the Kohen. You have a right to take money for it because as far as the Nesina, the Tudin, Afrosh's Challah is a Sofik Yisura to take off the Yisra Tevel. You can't eat the food without Afrosh's Challah. But as far as the Nesina to the Kohanim, that taka would be the same. That's a Hamotz Macharel Avra, you wouldn't have to give. Then the Gemara quotes the last two lines going over to the base. There are various Matnas Kuhuna. So those that are purely Dinim Amunas, like Sofik Pidyon Ben, that's Hamotz Macharel Avra. If you have a Sofik, you don't have to give. And those that have, what does he give the list here on the top along the base? Rashi, I guess, if you shear off enough wool from the animals, you have to give Rashi, I guess. If you have the suffix, you don't know when the fella converted. Before the Gziza or after, or Zorlachayim Hakeva, or Pinyin Aben. Whenever there's a suffix, Mamayna, you go to Kudam. Whenever there's a suffix, you go to Kudam. That's the Maskana Sagma. So in the Dorim, the Gemara in the Dorim, I'll close with the Gemara in the Dorim has a Sofik. If a person took a neder to give tzedakah, and there's a Sofik in Halacha, what is Mechuyev to give the tzedakah or not? Was the neder declared in a way that is binding or not? So the Gemara says, Teku. So what's the din? Teku. So the Ran has a Machlekes, whether you Mechuyev to give or not. So the Ran asks, how does it compare to this Gemara? The Gemara here gave the rules and the regulations. That no Issa the Hetan's doctor, just the Shah, you have to make out the check $100 or not. You have to give the money or not. So you should really say, Sofik Mamayna Lekul. It's not Becheskas Chiyuv. It's a Sofik Yivim Chiyuv. So the Ran has a whole Machlaikas Arishainim. How does that Machlaikas compare to this din that depends on Cheskas Chiyuv and Cheskas Ptur? And Yeruday, they say, when you get in Hilchas and Nidar, it says, when a person gets an Aliyah, and he says, Babusha Nadar, he doesn't say how much. Babusha Nadar, the Beis HaKnesses. And then later on, he doesn't remember how much he had in mind to give to the Beis HaKnesses. So they say you have to give the maximum that you could ever possibly give. When you get an Aliyah, I never give $1,000 for an Aliyah. Sometimes when they make an appeal, if it's important, then of course I'll give $1,000. But I never give $1,000 for an Aliyah. It depends what the circumstances are. Sometimes I'll only give $5, sometimes I give $25, $18, sometimes I give a little bit, sometimes I give more. So whenever you said Babusha Nadar and you didn't say how much and you weren't thinking how much, then it says in Shulchan Aruch, they quoted this after, you have to give the maximum you possibly could have intended to give at the time you said the Mishaber. So that's why they recommend it's always better to say explicitly the amount of money, or at least to have in mind beferish the amount of money. Because otherwise you got to give the maximum that you possibly could have had in mind. Yeah. This week, Parshas Nasai, the Haftarah is about Shimshon. The Kriyas Haftarah is about Nazir, and the Haftarah is about Shimshon, was a Nazir. And there's a Shinui Lashem between the way the Nazir is described in the Chumash. Chumash, it says, a man or a woman can become a Nazir. Dikira Neda Nazar Lahazal Hashem. It's a Nazar Hashem Yudke Vavke. In the Haftarah, it says Nazir Elikim Yeh Anar Min Abet and Ad Mosa. Elikim is usually the name of Hashem that made us Adin. And Yudke Vavke is usually the Midas Arachmas. So why is there a Shinoi here? So there's an interesting Ramban, Achumash Ramban explains, when the Nazir finishes his Naziris, Stam Naziris Shloshim Yom, you can never have Naziris less than 30 days, you can have more than 30 days, if you didn't say how long, so we assume Stam Naziris Shloshim Yom. It doesn't have to go in units of 30, it doesn't have to be either 30, 60, 90, 120, it can be 40 days, 50 days, it can be 7 years, the Gemara tells the story, Eleni HaMalka took a net of Naziris, if my son will be victorious in battle, she'll be a Nazira for 7 years. So then her son was victorious, she was observing Naziris for 7 years, she lived in Chutz Lords. Then she came, she lived in the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, so she came to Yerushalayim to bring the Karbonis, so they told her, there's a din mid the Rabbanon, all of Chutz Lords is like a big cemetery, so all the 7 years weren't, don't count. If the Nazir is Metame L'Mesim, doesn't count. Because at the time of the Mabul, the Gemara has a tradition, at the time of the Mabulan, there are dead bodies all over the world, but Eretzol was never affected by the Mabul. There are no walls separating, but Eretzol was never included in the Mabul. The whole Mabul was miraculous. Someone was asking me just over Shavuos, he was telling me about a friend of his who gave up the whole religion because he was bothered. How can it be the polar bears, Noach had all the animals from the world were on the table. How could it be? The polar bears couldn't live in such a climate. They can only live in a freezing place. I said, who said the Mabul affected in the North Pole? Maybe it didn't affect all the continents. Maybe only affected some areas. Mars said, didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. The whole thing is a miracle. There isn't so much water in the whole world. There's a water, the Tanai knew there's a water cycle. There isn't so much water in the whole world that it should cover all the mountains. When the water's going to spread around the whole globe, it's going to be held together with it's going to be held on the earth. So how can the water reach such a high point, 15 amas above? The whole thing is a miracle. So it could well be that the Mabul only affected that area where the people live. Where the people didn't live, maybe the Mabul didn't affect it. Anyway, so the din requires when the Nazir finishes and the Nazir has to bring Karbonis. Before he brings the Karbonis, he's not allowed to, even though the 30 days are up, he's not allowed to take a haircut, he's not allowed to go to a funeral, he's not allowed to eat grapes or drink wine until he brings the Karbonis. So the Karbonis are a matir. By bringing the Karbonis, it allows him to. I bet he only took a neder for 30 days. After the 30 days are up, he should be mutter automatically. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash says no. The Torah says, Kodesh Yiyah. The Nazir attains a certain level of sanctity, and whenever a person attains a certain level of sanctity, you have to remain on that level for the rest of your life. And if you want to lower your level of Kedusha, you need a Matir. So that's why the Korbanos of the Nazir are considered in the Mishnah, in the second Perikin piece. The Mishnah calls it Mechusri Kapara. The Korban is a Matir and permits the Nazir to lower his level. A lot of people were on Shavuos, they were on a high, they were sitting and learning all day and all night for 3 days. So they should really stay on that level for the rest of the year. They shouldn't go down. So the Nazir brings Karbanos to Mimata. Shimshon was for the rest of his life. So in the Chumash it's called Nazir Lashem. But Midas HaRachmim, the person knows that, the Rabban Shalom knows that not everybody can stay on the level of Naziris for the rest of their life. So the Rabban Shalom gave a kula that if you feel that it's too much, you can't remain on this madrega for the rest of your life, bring the karbanos will serve as a matir. But Shimshon was stuck, Nazir l'kim yanar min abet nad yomoso, for the rest of his life. So that's called Nazir l'kim. That's b'midas adin. He has to remain a nazir for the rest of his life. Shimshon himself never took a neder. Is a din ha'av madir is ben ob nazir. The father can make the son a nazir. Here the father had nothing to do with it. The mother had to do it. Father didn't do so. The Gemara says it's not a din ha'av madir is ben ob nazir. It's a din ha'malach idiro. He never took a neder. It was ben ha'shamayim. They told the mother that her son is a nazir, whether he likes it or not. So therefore, Shimshon Agiba couldn't have a hataras nedarim. Hataras nedarim is only based on the idea, I took a neder not to eat potato chips. I took a neder not to do something. I asked to do something. And then I realized it's too difficult. So I say, if I would have realized all the ramifications of the neder, I would have never taken the neder. So if it's true if that statement is true. If it's a lie, then the whole Hatoras Norm is not valid. But if it's true that if I would have been thinking straight, I wouldn't have been so angry or so depressed or so happy, but if I was not in a state of equilibrium, if I would have been on the normal condition, I would have never taken the neder. So the Bezin says that it's a neder toys of the matter. But here, Shimshon never took the neder. So the Gemara says, Shimshon Agibur couldn't make Hatoras Norm. What if somebody today says, Hareni Kishimshon? I'm the Kabbalah myself, Nazirus like Shimshon. So he took a neder, I want to be like Shimshon. Then he realizes it's extremely difficult. So the Gemara says that Nazir Shimshon doesn't have Hatar. So that's the question, why not? But he took the neder on himself, he wasn't a Hamalach Hidirum. So that's a Machlekes Achreinim, that din, that one is Mekabal Nazirus like Shimshon doesn't have Hatar. Is that a din Midirabban? And somehow that's only Midirabban. And Hatar, he does have Hatar. It's only a Chumra Midirabban. And others say no. That when you say Hareni Kishimshon, it's a Hatfasa. I want the din that was Hashimshon, I want that din to apply to me. So since Shimshon's Naziris didn't lend itself to Hatara, even though I took a net in Naziris, Hareni Kishimshon, but since I made a Hatfasa in Shimshon, so I have the same din. So even on the level of the Raisa, there's no Hatara. So that's a Machlekes Achreinim. When you have Hataras and Dharma on Erev Rosh Hashanah, so in the printed text it says, I ask for Hataras and Dharim, whatever I took. So many have the gifts, I feel in the Zira Shimshon. So the Achranim asks, but there is no Hatar for the Zira Shimshon. So some Achranim say it's a mistake, you should leave that. That's an absolution, you shouldn't say that line. That's against Allah. The others say no, on the level of the Rais, it does have Hatar. So the guy's asking for Hatar on the level of the Rais. Well, what does it help if the Rabbanon doesn't have Hatar? Yeah, but the main thing is that the two different Nazirim, Nozer and Parshas Nosa, is Nozer Lashem, because the din of Naziris and the Chumash was given at Midas HaRachman, that after the Zman is up, if it's too difficult, we permit you to bring Karvanis and to lower your level, to a lower level of Kedusha. But Shimshon was Nazir Lakim, he was by Midas HaDin, he was for the rest of his life. He didn't have any way to be Matar. Oh, next week, due to a combination of different circumstances, I won't be able to give a shiur. Every day, something else came up. And Tuesday night, they're honoring one of my sons-in-law. So they don't want me to. They don't want people to think that we don't talk to each other. My son-in-law, Tani Cohen, is being honored by the shiur.
But the week after, I'll be able to say a shiur. We should try to finish the Perek, because next year we'll probably start a different Masechta.
Very good.